Yeah. What's up? I was waiting for that to kick in.
Yeah, I know. It was the long intro one.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot they redid it. That's not originally in it. So what's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. I'm Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with Eric B. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Join our Patreon and rate and review and buy my book, Born Funny, on Amazon. And yeah. So the Oscars were last night, so we're just going to talk about that bullshit. You said you watched them a little bit, or
I watched all the clips and everything the next day. I was working last night, shows, and the shows last night were all everywhere, was packed. So
really?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, the Oscars.
Why doesn't anyone watch the Oscars? It's weird. No, every year it's always like, oh, it's the lowest rated of all time. And I'm like, I don't understand what people are doing on Sunday night. Sunday night, everyone's at home. I mean, the Oscars are on. Just
not only was it, because usually the last few years I saw it would have like really no effect. But last night at the shows, and it wasn't just the club I was at. I heard all the other shows, clubs were packed. And it's weird. No one gives a fuck.
Because they wanted to. Because they just wanted to get out. They hate the Oscars that much.
We'll get into it in a minute. But
okay.
You know, I mean, let's face it. A lot of those movies weren't that interesting. There was some good movies, but
yeah, I guess so. I'm surprised. Maybe there's. I don't know. It's like. You'd rather go to a fucking comedy show than to fucking than just stay home, you know, Sunday. I mean, wasn't it kind of cold out? I mean, it wasn't super warm. It just seems like it's the end of the weekend. Like, it's cold out. Just stay home, watch the Oscars.
Right.
Were they good, the crowds?
Yeah, they were great. They were, I think, they were so happy not to be at the watching the Oscars that they were actually better crowds.
Wow. The Oscars have changed. So what? So Jimmy Kimmel hosted. I think this was his third time.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, third time, and he's good. He's really good. His monologue was pretty funny, and not much but to say about it. And
yeah, then, I had it queued, but let's see if I still have it. Let's see.
And permitted to give a 19-minute long speech.
All right, wait, sorry.
Talented. I know Elvis would have loved your performance. And in fact, according to my QAnon Reddit page, he did. We know this is a special night for you. We want you to have fun. We want you to feel safe. And most importantly, we want me to feel safe. So we have strict policies in place. If anyone in this theater commits an act of violence at any point during the show, you will be awarded the Oscar for Best Actor. And permitted to give a 19-minute long speech.
That was the best part.
Yeah, that was funny. And then it was kind of, you know, as I was watching it, I was sort of like, I kind of miss Will Smith. Like,
yeah,
there's definitely some speeches that were going on too long, and I was like, well, maybe Will Smith should get back out there.
He was told apparently not to bring up anything about it either.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But he didn't.
So was
he
that
didn't,
like he went rogue during the show?
But he didn't.
You
really.
Know why? Did you talk to one of the writers?
No, I just read about it.
Oh,
but he didn't mention by name, so maybe he got away with it. That was the way around it.
That's so fucking stupid. Like, what? He's not going to mention it. Like, all right. why not? No one's thinking about it.
It's the only reason why anyone's watching. You know.
I know. So, so I'm glad and then he did get political like at the way end, which I thought was interesting because they were kind of talking about beforehand. They were trying to avoid politics, I guess, to get red state people to watch.
Right.
But then he kind of snuck in some stuff at the end, which I thought was smart because it was like, if you're watching and there's no politics, it's like the show he did at the end of the show is already over. So you already watched it.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, people don't watch the Oscars because they're so MAGA. Is that what they just hate the Oscars now because of Trump?
Yeah, I don't think they think it's that, but it's just, you know, It's just, you know, I think it's also it has to do with TV and everything is so split up. And I've brought this up before that the Oscars suffer from they don't have TV shows. It almost is like they may have to have a new category of like at least movies that you see on TV. Maybe like limited series. They might have to go that way a little bit because
They're just so reluctant to do and to change anything too drastically. I guess it's just these old people. So like,
well, that one's a tough call because if you start doing that, then you're basically saying movies are no different than TV. So, which they're not really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even all these movies that are out now, the big hits, they go on the streaming in like 3 weeks.
Did you watch what of the movies that were like nominated? Which ones had you seen? Like, did you see Tar?
I tried to watch it. Couldn't. It's available on Amazon or something or Peacock.
I couldn't get through it. Instead, I decided to do something more enjoyable. I had someone actually tar and feather me. I actually saw Tar twice in the theater. I thought it was good. It's really slow.
You saw it twice.
Yeah, because I saw it and I like thought it was. I think this was more when it wasn't that common to go to the movie theater much anymore. And I have that movie pass, I have another one like AMC.
AMC.
You can see like three a week. And I mean, it's movies are such a mess and it's so bad. It's like I literally haven't used it in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Like, and I can go see three movies a week.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I just saw it again because I was bored and I was like, let me watch it again. And the second time I saw it, I was like, yeah, that was boring. but I mean, I'm glad it didn't win anything.
Yeah. I mean, she's a really good actress.
She is, but I'm kind of glad she didn't win. I don't know. I mean, I don't. And then what did you see? The Western Front?
No, but there was that one movie that's now on Prime. It's called Women Talking.
Sounds fun.
I know Sarah Paulin won the best adapted screenplay. I actually I have a clip if you want to hear of the movie.
Before we start, I'm pissed they didn't cut her off because it was like that would have been so ironic, like woman not talking anymore.
Well, here's a clip.
Yeah, go play.
Here, go ahead. That was The View and women yelling, so I got that confused.
Okay. Well, that was the joke, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you should have played more because I thought it was funny. Yeah. Women talking. I thought it was Kardashians.
Yeah. I
heard that's good, but I just like it. It just sounds not good.
Right. Well, I talked to someone who saw it and I'm like, is it like, they're like, she's like, yeah, it's spot on. They're just women talking. It's kind of like that movie, My Dinner with Andre. People used to always make fun of that, right? It's just two people talking at a dinner table, the whole movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I mean, I do want to see women talking, but didn't she? Oh, she won for screenplay, right?
Adapted
screenplay. And then. Everything everywhere. So, I just want to go through all the ones. So, do you have them in front? What else was nominated? Oh, All Quiet on the Western Front. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but I had seen that before because it's been a movie a lot.
That specific book
That book. Yeah, they did it a million times.
I thought
times.
It was from a while ago, but like Richard Thomas was in it or something.
They've made many versions of that movie.
Top Gun.
Right.
Did you see that? I mean, I kind of thought it was funny that Tom Cruise didn't go. I mean,
yeah, why wasn't he there?
I think it's because I realized that it's like he just doesn't care anymore about that kind of shit. He's not playing the game politically. He's so like, I think like that ship kind of sailed for him years ago with trying to be embraced by Hollywood as like a serious actor. You know what I mean? Like, I think he was chasing getting an Oscar. And I feel like the Oscars are so relevant now and it just doesn't matter. And I think he's just kind of his own, you know, iconic figure in showbiz. I also think he knew he wasn't going to win. And I don't think Tom Cruise likes to go places where he's not going to win. You know what I mean?
Was he not? He was nominated, right?
Yeah, he was nominated. I think he was.
Let me see.
He might not have been nominated.
Yeah, that's probably why he didn't.
That's probably why. Yeah, you know what? I guess he wasn't.
I think he was mad about that. And
well, there you go. That explains it. He's definitely not. He definitely is not going to go then.
Yeah. The winner was Brendan Fraser. I have a clip of the movie The Whale. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
Here it comes. All right, that was actually from School Ties, but
I mean, it might as well be from The Whale. I thought it was going to be like whale noises.
I should have done that.
That actually probably would have been more enjoyable than the movie that I saw. I think it's so funny too. Another thing is, I thought they were going to give it to the Elvis guy. What's his face? I don't even know his
Austin
name.
Butler.
Austin Butler.
Yeah,
and this has happened in the past where Austin Butler's really good in Elvis, and he had to, you know, learn all these dance moves and move like him, and he had to like look like him and sound like him and sing like him and do all this. And meanwhile, you know, Brendan Fraser just literally sits in a chair, you know, eating food.
Did he have the game weight for that movie? I don't think so.
Are you kidding? What?
Did he have to gain? Wait. Or he was in a fat suit?
Thing me? What, for The Whale?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a fat suit. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Although you're kind of cutting out a little.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
You're not, but the video is frozen.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but I can still hear you.
Right. Here it is.
Yeah. Oh, here you. Okay, there you go. This is The Whale again.
Okay.
Yeah, he was good. He learned how to talk. He learned how to speak whale. But I mean, like, you know, fart. He just, it kind of reminds me of when the guy won for the Stephen Hawking movie and he was up against like Leonardo DiCaprio for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio is like, he's great in that movie. And he has like 10, you know, he has like, you know, like five monologues and some of them are like 10 minutes long, you know, you had to memorize all these lines. And then like the Stephen Hawking guy just sat in a chair, not talking.
And then the robot should have won the Oscar, right?
Yeah. And they're like, this guy's amazing. Yeah. Look at him. But it felt like that with The Whale. I mean, there's a little more to his, but he's just kind of like had to eat and, you know, sit on the couch and like fart. And like, they were like, this guy's great. I embodied Elvis.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live had a very funny sketch a few weeks ago with
I saw it. It was really funny.
With Woody Harrelson, where he gains like 500 pounds for the role.
And then what's it called? What they call it? They called it not The Whale, but something else.
Something like that.
The hippo or something. Yeah. And then that was hilarious. And they're like, oh, I had to dye my hair for this part. I can't believe we're not going to do it. And he's like, I gained 580 pounds for this part.
Yeah, because the movie doesn't happen. That's the whole thing. They cancel the movie, but he gains 500 pounds. And then at the end of the sketch, they go, and it was nice that you didn't ask to wear a fat suit. He's like, I could have wore a fat suit.
Yeah, well, another really funny part was at the end, the director's like, there's like five people there, including him. And he's like, you know, I feel like on this movie, I've made four, you know, great new friends. You know, but now I can say I've made five great new friends. And he's like, you weren't including me in the as one of your friends before.
Yeah, that was a funny sketch.
Yeah, it was almost weird because it was towards the end of the show, and like,
yeah,
I think and it was so funny. Like, it almost didn't seem to fit. It almost seemed like an accident. You know what I mean? It was like not a great show, and then
no.
Why do they do that? They do that a lot where they have really great skits at the end. And you're like, why didn't you lead with this? Is it because they thought that would be too offensive to people?
I think, yeah, they call them the 5-to-1 sketches usually. So they're usually weirder sometimes, but usually they're funnier because they're not like what a lot of the other things they're doing that are.
Right.
Kind of, so, yeah, but I didn't think that was too offensive. Maybe it was for fat people, but
I think everyone gets mad now if someone's you know, just someone's fat, everyone gets mad.
Well, like, there was a sketch on this Saturday where they were on the red carpet and they were interviewing two people who were doing Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell impressions, and that you couldn't understand what they were saying, and Irish groups got mad about it. Do you hear about this?
No, but, really?
But, yeah, but the thing is, it's like, it's not going to go anywhere because it's like, You can piss on Irish people. I mean, Irish people, I guess they're white. They, you know, Italian and Irish, really. It's like, you can kind of get
Irish groups. I mean, what does that even mean? How do you?
Well, yeah, you're Irish. Well,
drunk dudes.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing, because I was talking to an Irish person about it, and she was like, yeah, we kind of own it. I mean, if someone said Irish people are drunks and you couldn't understand what they were saying, would you be offended by that?
No. I mean, I feel like that's just such a known stereotype that it's almost such a known stereotype. It's almost like hack when you talk about it. You know, right. I think I had a joke about that when I first started stand up. That was actually a pretty good joke, but it was such a you know, it was borderline very hacky, but it was like I learned it just from watching people do comedy. It was like, I'm half Irish, half Scottish. So what do you think the joke would be? See if you can see where it's going to go.
Oh, I mean, something about beating yourself up. I don't know.
There's 50% chance I'm drunk right now and another 50% chance that I'm drunk right now. Okay. So that was kind of funny. I mean, yeah. Like it was sort of like a funny, at least I had the thought to go in that direction where I just repeating the first thing.
Right. That's, I like that angle because sometimes people go, I'm half this and half this. Usually there's a lot
and
of,
I'm in a drunk right now. I'm going to beat myself up right now.
Yeah. I was talking to some comic the other day about this. There's two things that comics like to start their set with. They'll either like, I'm half this, I'm half that. And then they'll do some joke or, I look like this person on crack. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this
right. And that was a big one too.
No, it still is.
I look like, I look like, you know, Nicole Kim. I don't know. I can't think. I look like if Brendan Gleeson fucked, you know, the clown from It or something. Like, you know right. what I mean? Like something like that. That was a big one too.
It's still big because I think they almost teach it in comedy schools or something. Because I see all.
Is it like to get to know you or something?
Yeah,
like,
and it's an easy joke because it's a visual joke. You know, it's a visual first joke. The problem is with it, and why I don't do it, because it is an easy laugh and it's it kind of introduces you to a crowd. But it's also like you can follow five comics that just start that way, and I don't like to do that. And you know, I saw a show the other night where that kept happening. And then by the fifth comic, they're like, okay, we get this. So,
yeah, it always seemed like, when I wrote the half Irish, half Scottish thing, I think I got the idea from Zach Galifianakis had a joke like that where he was like, he wasn't the only one, but he was like, I'm half Greek and half, what the fuck? I don't know what the other one was, but he was like, that means I'm half, maybe half Irish, half Greek. I get drunk all day while working at my dad's diner. Like that. Oh, was okay. The joke.
Yeah. I think I had one years ago where like I had a tough childhood cause my mom's Jewish and my dad was a pedophile, you know, but it was kind of, like, I just wanted to do something.
Oh yeah.
Different.
That's funny. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I stopped doing that. Cause it's like,
but that's funny. Yeah. That's like a total misdirect. Right. Yeah. But so back to the what were the other movies? Can you
Did
you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I just finished it today. And
you didn't like it?
I mean, it was innovative. Now here's the thing. This is my feeling on this. This is my guess. Hollywood, you know, has been international for a while, right? Movies, that's mm-hmm. where they make their money. Maybe they're seeing now America is not a big movie going place anymore. So if you kind of look at this award ceremony, what won all the awards?
Yeah.
The Chinese movie. The movie.
Is that Chinese?
No, it's a Chinese American, but it's China. I mean, like, I'm sure that movie.
Yeah, the cast. Yeah.
Right. I'm sure that movie is huge in China, I would imagine. I don't think it's really offensive. So China would, you know, show it.
Yeah.
I think it's very innovative, but I think to me that looked like almost some marketing thing because that movie was very innovative, but was that the best movie of the year? I mean, come on. I mean,
I don't think it was any worse than any of the, like, what do you think should have won?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just didn't it was a little very incoherent. I mean, maybe it was above my pay grade a little bit, like one of those Christopher Nolan movies, but.
Well, it is a little, you know, I have to watch it again because I had a weird thing. I think I talked about this before where like I went to a theater to see it. And of course, you know, everyone's just awful and doesn't know how to be out in public. So these dudes next to me were just talking. Like, and I said something early on, and like I just was like, can you stop? And the guy just screamed at me, like he got so mad, and we got into like an altercation. Like, we didn't fight, but he was like yelling at me, and he was right next to me, and like him and his friend had to like switch seats because he was like, let's go. He was like gonna make a big scene of leaving. He's like, I'm gonna go. And I was like, good, leave. Like, I said that to him. And But yeah, he was saying it almost like that was his, you know, retribution to me. Like, oh, you're leaving? I don't fucking, yeah, you're talking. Like, go home and watch the movie. So I don't know if you've ever had that, but it's really awkward because then it's like now next to you is just someone you've just had like borderline a fight with, a screaming right. match with, and they're just there. And it's just really tense and awkward.
Well, when
so
you
I
told me that,
really, and it's a hard movie to kind of follow.
Right.
Already.
When you told me that, I was like, and then you were like, but, and then I could just couldn't follow the movie. And then I'm like, oh, that's still odd. But then when I saw the movie, I'm like, oh yeah, if someone's bothering me during this movie, I can barely understand it normally. So.
Yeah. Oh, so when I first saw you, you like were like, oh, you're an idiot.
I was just, I'm like, really? Was it that distracting? But
yeah, I mean, it wasn't a Fast Furious movie. Well, what's going on here? What happened? He's in a car. Come on, why?
Well, they did win the Oscar. They did win for their best picture. You want to hear the clip?
Yeah.
All right. Here it comes.
And the Academy Award. For best picture.
You're impossible. Come on. La La Land.
So I guess they got screwed over yesterday, too.
Wow, that would have been great. That was like the greatest thing that ever happened before the other guy beat up Chris Rock. You know, looking back on it, La La Land's better than fucking Moonlight. Did you ever see Moonlight?
I don't know. I thought that was the better movie, but I didn't really love either one of them.
I just rewatched La La Land. I like La La Land. I know everyone shits on it, but I think it's a good movie. I think it for what it is, it really holds up and it's good. Okay. Moonlight's another one I saw twice in the theater, and I was like, the second time I was like, yeah, I didn't like that.
Well, you know what? I was talking to someone yesterday. They were saying like, "Oh, I can't believe it's been a year since the Will Smith slap," and it seems sooner because it was just such a dramatic thing. But this Moonlight or La La Land scandal, that seems like forever ago. Like you can barely even remember that. You know,
was that 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, that does feel like a long time. I mean, it was like, I mean,
it was, I guess,
right before the pit, sort of. I mean, and then remember how that was just like the craziest thing that had ever happened?
Yeah.
It's like it's just now it just seems like something that could just happen really easily and almost something that that was the first chink in the armor of like against the elegance and the, you know.
Yeah. That one was pretty bad.
The high status of the award show. It was just kind of like that was kind of when things were already shifting with streaming and it hadn't happened yet. Like movies hadn't completely become irrelevant, but they were getting there.
Yeah.
Right? Like so what did you had a hard time following everything everywhere all at once?
I mean, the title's
confusing.
I was kind of like half watching because I wanted to be prepared for this podcast, but I mean, that's not a good way to watch it. I thought people.
What is it about? I mean, like, I know it's about the multiverse.
Yeah, that's the whole thing where like they were like every person was seven different people that were lived in different universes. That multiverse thing is a very popular thing. I guess Marvel really got people into that.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to think people actually believe in this shit. So I guess it was scientifically cool. Possible.
I think people believe in it because they want to think that their life, that there's a better version out there, their shit life. Like everyone just assumes. I'm sure there's another version of me that's like, you know, a huge star and a millionaire, you know, when the other versions are probably just shittier, exactly the same. They just work at a different Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Like in this life, I'm just a medium stand up comic. Probably in another one, I'm like just an open mic comic. Yeah.
Right. That would be such a bummer. But they, oh, so I mean, the big one was, you know, the guy from Goonies, Ke-Hai Kwan. So that was cool. And I mean, you know, I'm really glad he won because. For a second, I thought they might not give it to him because he was so favored. But,
yeah,
you know, it's such an amazing story and, you know, his energy. And, you know, he's kind of like the Asian Cuba Gooding Jr. Like his speech was just like unbelievable. You know, he's so genuine and passionate and so happy. He seems like he has just such a good energy. But, you know, it's so funny. So I was watching with my girlfriend and I remember, I guess it was less than a year ago. And I'm like a huge pop culture I know so many obscure pop culture references like that, yeah. And my girlfriend does too, but I'm like, she's like, you know, amazed by me, like almost to the point where it's like disturbing, but she like likes it.
Right.
But we were seeing a movie, I guess, in the Angelica, and they showed a trailer for that before it was like, you know, it was like a month from coming out.
Uh-huh.
And we were watching it, and I was like, he's in the trailer, and I was like, I think that's the kid from Goonies.
Wow. Sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, mainly because he sounded like him. And she was like, the guy from Goonies? And I go, and I said to her, I go, you're going to be so fucking, this is going to blow your mind. And she's like, she goes, what, you know his name? And she goes, what's his name? And I go, Ki Hai Kwan. And then it came on the credits, and she was, you know, whatever it says, who's in the movie, and it says Ki. And she was like, God, how do you know that? And then, like, it's funny because I did actually have a good answer. Like, you've seen Goonies a lot, right?
Yeah.
You've seen it a lot?
A couple times.
Did you love it? Oh, really? Like, yeah. I mean, I loved it as a kid. And I've seen it so many times over the years. But do you remember, like, that movie, the opening credits is like a chase scene? It's one of those movies. You know some movies, like, yeah. The opening credits aren't just the credits. They'll have, like, a scene during the credits. Something's really happening.
Right. Like, they would, like, I think how that happened was, originally they would do that in James Bond movies where they wouldn't have to do anything to do with the movie, really. And then Steven Spielberg used that in Indiana Jones. And I think that's
right. It's kind of like an opening.
He produced that one, right?
Well, yeah, and then it is relevant to the plot though, because it's the Fratellis escaping jail. They're breaking the son out of jail. So during the chase scene, they do this kind of clever thing where they introduce every kid in the cast. Like, they have their own little set piece. Like, the chase passes one of them, and it kind of sets up what their character is in their set piece when the chase goes past them, and each of them gets their own like title card. So you see, I've seen it so many times. So I remember seeing his name like so many times in the credits, and it would be, you know, like he got his own credit. And so, weird things like that, you know, cause I was like, we were like the age when it came out, we were like around their age.
I never
like
loved 12. That movie though. Did you like that movie?
I mean, when it came out, I loved it. You didn't like it? What were you?
I don't know. I just, like? I didn't like movie.
Sophie's Choice? Like, that's the only other option?
Well, the funny thing was also in that movie, and this guy, the one who played the grandfather in the Everything movie, his name is James Hong. He's been around forever. In every TV show or movie, he played like the Asian dude.
He was on MASH a lot.
He was on MASH. And he was on Seinfeld, a famous episode.
Right. He's the Chinese guy.
Yeah. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
I have the scene queued up. She's trying to tip him.
Oh, I see.
That's how's it going?
Very busy.
All right. I want to play the whole thing, but. Yeah, he would always have an accent.
Good. Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. I wonder though if he even has an accent in real life, but he would always put on that hard Asian accent. He's almost 100 years old, that guy.
Yeah, I think they said he was 94.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good. He was there. I mean, I Jamie Lee Curtis, I actually, you know, it's funny. About a week ago, because I don't know how much you follow these, like this award show season or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, early on in the award show season, like Everything Everywhere All at Once wasn't a front runner. I feel like it was just kind of a movie that was there, and maybe the guy from Goonies would win. And I don't know what happened. I guess it started winning awards. He started winning everything. And then I said like a week ago to my girlfriend, I was like, I go, I think that movie's going to win everything.
Yeah.
And she was like, I think so too. And I was like, and I don't even know why. I go, why do I think that? I just feel like that movie's really, because I was going through and I was like, Tar was a favorite one, but Tar's just like boring. Like no one, it's just like, there's no like exuberance or like when you're like, the winner is Tar, you know, it's like, it even sounds boring, you know?
I mean, usually now, I mean, they don't want to have, I guess they want people to watch these awards. So they're not going to give it to the little fucking movie anymore. The movie has to at least have some box office juice, which this movie did pretty well at the box office because.
Right. For what it was.
I think definitely. They don't want like another English Patient shit where I don't, maybe that movie was kind of big, but you know, like, or The Artist, remember The Artist? that one, and like
where
no one
ever saw it. And like, even the people. I mean, that's a movie I've never talked to anyone about ever. I've never wanted to see it for one second. That was, you're right, back that was still when they still had the they still had the reverence towards the award show, and they could still get away with shit like that. We're gonna give this really arts, because we're like really high art, you know, like that. You know, we know, like, your little popcorn shit movies, like, this is a real movie.
Yeah, it's, do you remember, like, do you ever see
Naked
Gun 3, and they do a parody of the Oscars, and like the movie that the one is the art house movie that I think they think wins is called Sawdust and Mildew.
Yeah,
like, it always has names.
Yeah, those
like
are the movies. Yeah, they were like movies that just, like, Tar is like, Tar sounds like a boring movie.
Yeah,
but they all, yeah, they did always do that. Like, I'm trying to think of
well, in the 90s, a lot of those,
like, years in the 80s or like
yeah, but in the 90s, those
Out of Africa one
right
year.
No, but these guys, who are the guys in the 90s, let me just look that up. They did a lot of movies. Merchant Ivory. They would do a lot of these period movies, and they would always win the Oscars, and no one... Remains of the Day is actually pretty decent, but Howard's End and things like that, it's like, you just... It's just... They're a slog, but they would always win Oscars because it was like...
It sounded boring. And Moonlight was like that, too. Moonlight's a boring movie, but it's like, you know, I guess it's about, you know, the black, like a young oppressed black man, and, you know...
And
so
he was good at it. He was good in it.
I mean, it wasn't the worst. It just was boring. It wasn't like, I don't ever want to see it again. And I understand Lala. That was around when they were getting mad about, because everyone was white, you know, in the Oscars. So they couldn't.
And then Green Book won a few years ago, and everyone was mad about that one. I just watched that one again. And I understand it has some tropes in that movie, like the white savior or something like that. But I think they tried to do a decent job with it, because it's like the white guy doesn't just help the black guy. The black guy also helps the white guy in the movie. So but you know, he's driving around. So they were comparing it to Driving Miss Daisy, but maybe I'm not black, so I don't really can speak to it, but it seemed pretty.
But isn't the white guy driving him around?
Right. But still,
is that progress?
Spike Lee was mad, 'cause I think his movie didn't win that year.
I mean, isn't he always mad? I mean,
And I got to tell you, I like that movie, Black Klansman, but I don't think it was the best movie of the year.
I liked it too. It's not, I didn't, I thought Green Book was fine. I mean, like, I get, that's another one though. Like, I don't ever want to see it. It is like, it just shows you, like, I think what happens with a lot of these movies is like, and it's just kind of to be expected, like, you don't have any perspective. Like, you have to look at movies or things like that from like a few years out to kind of see what they're really like. Right. I think it's hard to see a movie and just be like, you know, immediately after the experience, be like, okay, that's great. Like Goodfellas even. Like, I remember, you know, like, but Goodfellas, I was like, yeah, that was good. But, you know, over the years, Goodfellas just become this, like, clearly this, like, classic film. I don't know what it is that why certain movies age so well and some just...
I think it's, that's like the key. Shit. But that's the key. It's like the key with TV shows too. Like, I remember in the 90s when Home Improvement was like the number one show. And, you know, Seinfeld was definitely popular, but, you know, Home Improvement. And then years later, you ever see Home Improvement anywhere? No.
I saw, like, if I ever see reruns of that, it's like I'm in another state and, like, you know, in, like,
in a hotel. A
fucking, yeah. And I'm just like, it's the only thing on. It's like a weird channel where you're like, what is, like, why are, like, you know, like, something's off when you're like, why are they playing Home Improvement reruns? But yeah, Seinfeld took like years to get. It took a good 3 or 4 years for it to catch on. As like a cultural...
And it was a number one show. However, a lot of people discovered it after it was off the air. It's just, you know, and that's...
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
The same
Friends,
thing...
No, Friends was big immediately.
Yeah. The another example is like The Honeymooners. When that first came out, that show didn't do that well. But then years later, you know... It just held up pretty well. You know, it was just him and the wife in the apartment. And, you know,
I used to even watch that as a kid. Like, it was on at like 11 o'clock. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, again, I think it was like I was hard up for entertainment because it was like on at 11 and there was like nothing to watch. But I didn't hate it.
No. I mean, I think it holds up. I'm not saying it's the most hilarious thing in the world.
I mean, it just looks like nothing. I mean, I could make something right now on my phone that looks better than that, like better production value than that. It just looks, like they're supposed to be really poor or something. Is that what?
Yeah.
Why their place looks like shit?
Well, that was the problem, I think they said with the show was he had a Jackie Gleason show and it was popular, and then they would have this Honeymooner sketch, so they turned it into a show and it didn't do that well. And they always said, because in the 50s everyone was coming out of the war and depression and they didn't want to see poor people, and even now on TV there's not a lot of that. People don't want to see their own lives on TV. They want to see something different. Either it's dragons or zombies or rich people. You don't see too many. I mean, you see some stuff, but it's like,
yeah.
I mean, even the show Shameless, right? That's a good show. And they're poor. That's why I like that show. But they would throw so many other bells and whistles in that you didn't really always realize how poor they were, because there was so many crazy things going on that you couldn't say.
Yeah, they were poor, but they were like feisty and fighters. And like,
right. And crazy things would happen on that show. And so you couldn't look at that and go, that's my life,
That show was crazy. I watched it. That's a weird show. Is it still on? It's not, right?
No, but it was the most popular show on Showtime for years. And
it was on for years, right? Yeah. And I remember I went in and out. Like I would watch it. It's one of those shows I liked, but I would get like, it was like overwhelming after a while. It's like, because it was just like crazy shit all the time. Like it'd be like, and then bad things would happen when people get murdered and stuff, and like he would do really horrible things. So I'd just be like, all right, I can't, like, it would be like being around like a crazy group of friends where you're like, I need a break from these
guys. Because every show was like, you're like, they can't top that. And then the next week they're just fucking pushing it to the next level. And sometimes you're like, I need a break. Because some of these shows sometimes, like even The Sopranos, they'll have an episode where everything's like fucking insane or Breaking Bad. And then they'll have an episode where not a lot happens. And those episodes, people always get mad about, like, nothing happened. But like, you need that. You need that break a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know that Shameless really did that. But no.
But I do have Jamie Lee Curtis. I have her acceptance speech.
Okay. I thought she was going to win, but I was still surprised. And everyone's mad because Angela Bassett, they thought, would win.
Right. Oscar's so white. All right, here we go.
Anymore. Sometimes if I eat as I used to, my digestive system gets out of whack. It's not easy keeping it working as it should.
It's easy if you enjoy an Activia every day.
Yeah, that was a weird plug. Is Activia still around? What was it? Was supposed to like make you crap, that yogurt?
Yeah. Hey, you know what other because actually yogurt in general, if you have diarrhea, is supposed to stop that. Did you know that?
No. I didn't know that, but that's good to know.
Yeah. So if you ever have
this one would cause you to have it? Yeah, she was the spokesperson for that for years, right? That was kind of her thing. I kind of was surprised that I guess they were giving it to her because she's just been around so long.
I wonder if also she's been around so long, and also, hey, both of her parents were famous. I don't think either one of them won an Oscar. Maybe Tony Curtis.
That was
might
another thing I saw. Twitter and all this shit. I actually kind of stayed off Twitter. I've been staying off that shit a lot more. It's kind of nice. But I saw something like that people were just, mad. They were like blaming it on nepotism. And I'm
Nepo baby.
Her parents. I get it. But it's like she didn't win the Oscar because of nepotism. Like I'm sure it helped her early on in her career. But no, they weren't like, all right, give the Oscar to Jamie Lee Curtis because of her parents. It's just like her parents are dead. No one really associates her. She surpassed her parents. What I mean?
But her dad did never win. I don't think Janet Leigh ever did either. So that might happen.
Well, that's fine. I mean, like, were they good? Was Tony Curtis known to be good?
Yeah, he was a serious actor. I mean, he was in some things.
Like, what was he in after 1950?
The Defiant Ones he was in with Sidney Poitier. He was nominated for that.
Was that in like 1900?
1958. You don't know that movie?
I know it. I know. But I just feel like that's such an old, like, Hollywood.
Some Like It Hot.
Right. That's his big one. Right. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Is it good?
The funny thing is, people are like, some movie critics are like, that is the funniest movie ever made.
And yeah, it's on a list where it's the number one comedy of all time. And I'm like, I've seen clips I've never seen. I'm like, that does not look funny at all.
It's Bosom
Maybe
Buddies.
Like, did it come out before, like, comedy was a thing that had been invented? No. But I mean, I can understand if comedy was like this brand new concept. Like, what is this?
Right.
For the time, it was probably like hilarious. But I mean, I guarantee you, I would not think that was the funniest movie of all time.
I mean, it's hard with these old comedies. I did rewatch recently the original Odd Couple movie. That's funny. That still holds up well.
That's Neil Simon, right?
Right.
Neil Simon. I mean, he's a really, you know, he was always a really good comedy writer. Yeah. I mean, Some Like It Hot, I've seen clips, and yeah, it just looks like Bosom Buddies. It's like, White Chicks, you know, it's just.
Although Bosom Buddies admitted they stole from that. That was the whole point of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't like Bosom Buddies was some like amazing, you know, innovative triumph in
But
TV.
I think at the time it was very, what happened was that, you know, there was a motion picture code for like from the 30s or the 40s to the late 60s.
Yeah.
And so I'm just reading that this movie was produced without approval from the motion picture code, the Hays code, because it features LGBT related themes and cross dressing. So at the time, it must have been pretty shocking for people to see that in the theater.
Right. And the fact that that's how backwards we are now. We're like going back to where like Some Like It Hot was like, you couldn't even do that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, let me just put it this way. I don't remember Tony Curtis being in anything ever in my life. Like, right. I always heard about him. And he became known to me as Jamie Lee Curtis's dad. So I wasn't. And Janet Leigh, I mean, wasn't there a thing where, like, she kind of got blackballed because Hitchcock kind of fucked her over or something? Or was that Tippi Hedren?
I think that was Tippi Hedren. However, Jamie Lee was Curtis was put in Halloween because of Janet Leigh was in Psycho. It was like a nod.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
It was a big part of it. So,
I mean, it definitely helped her. But I mean, and, you know, she is a good example of like she was good. So it wasn't like she wasn't shit. She did get the opportunity, but she was good. And do you remember in the 80s when she was just so super hot?
Oh my God. What's the one, Trading Places?
Trading Places, and then she was in this movie like Perfect. Yeah, this awful John Travolta movie.
She always had a sick body, man. Like,
she did. She was really hot, and that was the other thing. She was a hermaphrodite. I almost tweeted yesterday, like best supporting actress. You know, that's gonna be.
Yeah, I wouldn't
like,
put that.
Is
out
that
there.
True? Do you think that's true?
I don't think that's true. That sounds like an urban legend. I mean, she's married to Christopher Guest too. You know that.
Yeah, and I mean, they got married when she was like at her peak hotness, like
right.
Like Trading Places, Jamie Lee Curtis married Christopher Guest. Right. I always liked her. And I always thought it was cool that she married Christopher Guest. Almost kind of was like a notch. Like, because Christopher Guest was always, I mean, I love Spinal Tap so much. Right.
And he's kind of like a genius. So he must be.
He's like a genius. And I like his career where he kind of like, he would do whatever he wanted that he liked. Mm-hmm. He would do these kind of cool, weird things. And then just, he didn't seem to seek the spotlight at all. You know, I always thought that was kind of, he seems like a cool, kind of cultural, like the people who like Christopher Guest really like Christopher Guest are in the know of him. And you know, it's also like, I don't know, it's kind of a flex. He married fucking 1982 Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, it's just like, that's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, with funny people, it's like Mel Brooks married super hot Anne Bancroft. I mean, back in the day,
was she hot?
Oh, you ever see The Graduate?
Yeah.
He's smoking.
Did she play Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't remember her being that hot, but yeah, I guess
he's hot in that movie. Yeah.
Wait. It's interesting. Christopher Guest. He's kind of an interesting figure because, you know, I saw him at the Oscars and he looked like kind of the same. I mean, he looked older, but he looked good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They actually kind of looked alike.
Really?
Well, they had like they both have the same exact hair. It's like this short gray hair. But I don't know. He's kind of an interesting Hollywood person because like he's known as being really good, but I feel like he never gets any credit, you know what I mean? No one really ever mentions him in like the pantheon of comedy, which is kind of, I think certain people do, but not It's not mainstream, yeah. Which is just another argument of like whatever is like mainstream is probably not the best thing. You know what I mean?
Right. And you could probably point to some things in his career where he made a mistake where like he was on Saturday Night Live for a year and then he just left. And that might have been, looking back on that, might have been a bad move because, you know, I think that being on that show for a while, that kind of puts you in the limelight.
Apparently that was the thing. They got it after Spinal Tap. It was him and Harry Shearer and Billy Crystal. He's in Spinal Tap, but they all got it the same year and they all signed on just for 1 year.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Billy Crystal was on that really launched Billy Crystal. I mean, I didn't really know who Billy Crystal. I mean, I know he had been around, but he wasn't. After that, he was really big. And I mean, again, it was like after one season of SNL.
Well, that season, Martin Short was on it too. So Martin Short and Billy Crystal became huge stars for just being on that show for 1 year. So you figure Christopher Guest was kind of in the background a little bit. So if he had stayed on maybe longer, that might have helped
him out. I think he like likes that though. You know what I mean? I think he was one of those guys that like kind of liked not being... I mean, and I'm just speculating from looking at his career. I just... Right. He never seemed like someone that was like... I got to get my name out there. I have to. It was like whenever he played something and it was really good, it was like he was hiding behind the cage. He wasn't even playing anyone that you could even recognize. And I think he was, I don't know. I think he seemed to have kind of, you know, shy away from being a star. Like he didn't want that. And then I think it was like enough that he was married to this huge starlet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be cooler, like to be married to some kind of hot starlet and you kind of do things and you're just like, yeah, whatever, I don't care, you go make the money. But you know what I mean? He never wasn't like popping up in like Halloween, but you know what I mean? He never like, it didn't seem to care to be doing.
I always thought this, did you ever see this? This is what he used to do on Saturday Night Live with Billy Crystal.
Where they would compare their injuries.
Yeah, yeah. I hate when that happens. I'll just play a second of it.
You ever take one of those things and shove it?
You know something, Frank? I don't like being a night watchman. There's nobody here.
I mean, we're doing our job, Willie. I'm doing it well.
Yeah, but I liked it better when we was messengers. I mean, and then I was out. I was meeting people.
Like that woman over at Chatelman Suits, right?
I dropped her. Yeah, she was all over me. All over me she was. I need room to breathe.
I know, Willie. A stallion needs to run.
I'm just not getting the right part there.
Well, didn't it become the shtick was like, you ever do this? And then it's like some really random, like, you ever take, I remember it was like, and when they know the other thing, like they'd be like, you ever take one of those ball pens?
Here it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, the other day, I took one of them...
meat thermometers?
Yeah. And I just shoved it into here, you know, as far as it could go, you know. But then I took one of them...
ball peen hammers.
Right. I just whacked it a few times right in there, you know.
Boy, that must smart.
I know. I hate when that happens.
That was...
Well, I can't believe I got that completely right.
Oh, you said that?
Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you ever tell me about ball peen hammers? Yeah. You know, I bet you they didn't even do that. They probably did that like twice, that skit.
Yeah. I remember that was a really funny one, though.
I remember watching it young and being, you know, I like didn't understand what it was because I was like, I mean, I knew it was funny, but I was like, well, what is, like, what's going on? They're just weirdos talking.
Yeah. But that was a great season of Saturday Night Live. Christopher Guest and Martin Short, Billy Crystal.
Wasn't that sort of rebooting season a little bit? Wasn't it like things had gone bad?
No, what happened was like the year before Eddie Murphy left. So they
was he still on that season or no?
No, he wasn't. He hosted one episode, the episode where he pretends he's a white dude.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember that episode.
That's iconic. And that season, they signed all these. Usually, Saturday Night Live gets people who aren't famous. That season, they got people who are kind of big already. And it was like, because you know, Billy Crystal was on the show Soap, so he was already kind of a star.
Yeah,
so they got all these stars, you know. But I guess that's why.
And
they
the
only,
Spinal Tap guys had just done Spinal Tap,
right? And then they all left that year. After that year, and then Lorne Michaels came back, and it was that rough season where they had Anthony Michael Hall and stuff. And
wait, so Lorne Michaels wasn't back for that one season with Christopher Guest? Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah, but it was a not reboot, but it was like a rebuilding season, it felt like. Like that, because it was really waning, I think, especially when Eddie Murphy left.
Yeah, and but it was actually that season. It was really, honestly, it wasn't that. It was more of a kitchen sink. It was like almost saying, like, you're doing Saturday Night Live right now, and you can get like anyone you want to be on the show. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm going to do Saturday Night Live now. I'm going to put Jim Carrey, who's fucking great. The Key and Peele.
It's
like an all-star team.
Kind of, because
these guys command so much money that you couldn't do that now.
Well, I will say that they weren't like really established yet, but they were like, they were sort of in the zeitgeist. It was entertainment. It was like different at that point. It was like, they were still kind of up and coming, but they were kind of in the business. They were definitely established. You know what I mean? Right. They weren't like, this wasn't like their big break.
But you think about it then, as opposed to now, like with all the less choices. I mean, Saturday Night Live still has that ability to really break big stars because it's still out there and people still watch the clips and stuff. But back in the day, I mean, you broke on Saturday Night Live, you were a monster fucking star. And that's
it could happen fast.
Right. And that's when Lorne Michaels started giving, when you signed up for the show, they made you sign a 7-year contract, which they could fire you before then. It's like, but they have you for 7 years because they had too many guys that would just get big, like Eddie Murphy after 2 years and, you know, and just leave.
Yeah.
And this way they could hold on to him for like 7 years.
That year, that 1 year with all the money is such an anomaly. It's really weird. It's like a weird like placeholder season because it was a good season. And then the next year they were all gone and it was Anthony Michael Hall, like the Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr., Randy Quaid. It was such a weird, because that was a weird one too, because Anthony Michael Hall was known at the time.
Right.
And
he was
in movies.
Yeah.
And he was really funny, and it's weird because he went on that show and he was just, I mean, he just didn't have the live comedy chops. So
no, and I
was
read
like
something
surprisingly bad on that.
And I
show.
Read something also that they all left, but Billy Crystal said he wanted to stay. And I guess Lorne Michaels didn't want him there. So,
wow.
But he wanted
such a punch in the face.
Yeah. He wanted Martin Short to stay, and Martin Short said no.
Wow, that you would the idea that like you wouldn't, because I feel like now on SNL you need like a good 3 or 4 years to like break through. You can't, no one is going to show up and in a year just be like a star. Like if you're lucky, like the Weekend Update guys now, those guys are never leaving. Like they, you can tell those guys have, they're like why Michael Che? I mean, not to, I just feel like Michael Che, once that's gone, it's just like, it's not going to be much easier for him. Like, I don't feel like that launched him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it did. And then all of a sudden, I feel like they've stayed too long. You know what I mean?
Well,
no one's been that for that long.
Well, yeah, I think Keenan shows you that he's been on for 20 years. Now, when someone leaves Saturday Night Live, they have good careers because you always get work, especially if you're a stand-up. But for some reason, you think the person's disappeared off the face of the earth. Here's like an example, like Vanessa Bayer, right? She was very good on that
show. She was on that a lot.
Yeah, and she left, and then people are like, where are she? But she's on, she has a show on Showtime, and you know, and that's pretty cool. But for some reason, people just, when you're off that show, you're not part of, like you said, the zeitgeist. You're just, you know, you're not.
Yeah, you're, and it's so different now. To, you know, it's so hard to, there's so many other options for everything out there that like, even if you're on that show, it's so hard to get anyone to pay attention to you even on that show. You know, even if you're doing a lot. Like,
but that's the one show, that's the one show you could really do it with, you know. Just having a sitcom on some streaming service that people aren't talking about you every second. They
I
are.
Guess so, but the thing is, but it's also like, what does it propel you to now? Because I feel like now what they do is, if you do make a mark on it, they'll give you a couple of chances, but then if they don't happen, they're just like, all right, too bad. There's people who've been on that show for like two, three years who like, I don't even know what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like we're barely doing anything.
But here's the thing. This is the problem with it now, is that used to be, if you blew up on the show, you'd have a big movie career, be in all these big movie comedies. There are no more big movie comedies anymore. They'll be on streaming services. So the chance of you becoming the Will Ferrell or the Bill Murray or whatever, that's, it just can't happen because they're not even making those movies anymore. And if they do, they put them right on streaming. And yeah, a lot of people watch them, but it doesn't have the cachet of like being in the biggest movie, like Ghostbusters or something like that.
I think
that.
What it is like SNL obviously is like still an institution and it still is in the pop culture zeitgeist. As much as people like, including me, I'll still watch it almost to just be like, all right, that sucked. You know,
right.
almost to just crap on it. But it is still something I watch regularly. Yeah. But I think what it is like, in terms of it launching people in careers and comedians who are, you know, going on that track. Cause it's definitely not, for a while, it was kind of like, if you were a comedian, you had to like think of that as possibly a track that you could use to get somewhere. But people are looking at it the same way, you know, as like a launching thing, but it's just not that anymore. If looking at it from the outside,
right? But
it's,
I don't
just
think,
not doing that anymore.
But because like, there's nowhere to launch you to anymore, though. I mean,
that's
like,
the thing,
right? Like David Spade, he had a good career when he left because he was on a bunch of sitcoms, big TV network sitcoms, right? That's not a thing anymore. There are no big network sitcoms. I don't think they'll ever be again, to be honest. So. You know, it's really tough where these people are going to go now.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Where like, I think Michael Che is like, I don't want to leave this fucking job. Like even like Kenan Thompson, I think they're like, what? Well, they'll do stuff, but
Kenan, they gave him a sitcom already. I
think
it failed. So
I mean, that's where it is now. You can have.
He didn't leave the show. He was smart. He knew. You know.
But that's how bad it is now out there that it's like you can like have failed sitcoms on the show and still be on the show. Like, yeah, and I'm not like you won't even leave the show anymore.
Well, and you also have to look at
you also have
to look at the money aspect of it, too, is the money for a lot of these,
like nothing
for like I'm being on a sitcom or stuff like that. First of all, the sitcoms now are only 10 episodes. And you get paid per episode and a lot of them are just not watched anymore. So. You are giving up this Saturday Night Live thing for maybe not that much money, you know, and then if it flops, then you're kind of like a nobody again.
I mean, honestly, I think the prospect of being on SNL for a comedian is like actually a really risky career endeavor now because
I don't.
You could be on it. What? No?
No. If you're a stand-up comedian, if you're on that show, you will always work. As a stand-up comic.
I guess that's true, but you're lucky because you're a stand-up comic, so like you can always kind of do what you're doing. But I think it's scary in the way that you're right. I feel like once you're in there, once you leave, it is kind of like being like released into the wild. It's almost like being in a marriage and then being single again. You have to go out and kind of like find some people to date when you haven't had to experience that yet. And the opportunities are so few and far between now after that I think it's scary. And it seems like it's a much more likely prospect now to be on that show and get a lot of attention and then get fired and then just do nothing. And that's a really scary prospect to be like, oh, I'm known, but I'm not doing anything. Like that's really scary.
And even if you're huge on the show, like you look at Pete Davidson, right? He's got some projects come up. I think he's going to be in a sitcom or something. But if it doesn't go well, I mean, in the last 6 months, the biggest story you heard about Pete Davidson is he drove his car into a fucking thing, right? You heard that story?
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, the big stories with him is he's always just banging. So
I know, but eventually, if you're not up there somewhere though, then you're just a guy fucking women, you know, that's all you are. Career going, you know, that's what Ashton Kutcher was that guy. And then he had to go back to, he went to 2.5 Men because he's like, people are like, I don't even know why this guy is famous anymore. They kept talking about all his relationships. And then, so he jumped right back onto TV, even though he thought he was a movie star, which is fine.
But, and I mean, I think Pete Davidson's like the last 10-15 years is one of the biggest breakouts from that show that they've had. They don't have breakouts like that anymore. But it was weird because his was different. I do think he was good on that show, like what he did on The Update and stuff. But if he didn't have the Ariana Grande thing and all that shit, he would not. The breakout was not from what he was doing on SNL. It was from his, like, he became like this interesting persona in the world that people were kind of, and he, you know, he is charismatic, but he's the big, so if he's going to struggle with movie projects, I mean, what is fucking Vanessa Bayer going to, you know what I mean? Right. I just feel like I did a short film years ago and Dean Edwards was in it. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, of course.
And he had been on Saturday Night Live for like 2 or 3 years. And I'm not like shitting. He was nice enough to do this short film that I wrote, and he was really great in it. But I did have moments of like, this is so weird that I'm like acting with this guy who I used to watch on SNL, and I'm directing him, and he's like listening to me. It was like weird. And I was like, well, would it have been? I mean, Martin Short was on it for less time than Dean Edwards. You know what I mean? So it's like.
But Martin Short, he like the second he left that show, he got into a lot of big movies, and that was, and they were hits, a lot of them. So that's like the
thing.
It
was a different time. You could, movies were waiting for you.
Right. But you had to do well in the movies. Those movies had to do well. So
you had, they would give you like a couple of shots.
Right.
He got lucky. He, remember when this was a big thing too in SNL? It was huge. And this is just shows how different the pop culture landscape is. Like, where we didn't have any access to celebrities, where like it happened with Eddie Murphy and a couple of people. Remember when like someone would be on it and they'd do a movie while they were on it, and it would be huge, and then they'd still be on the on SNL, and that was like a huge deal, because now it was like this person on a TV show kind of accidentally became a movie star, and now they were just on a TV show, and it was like, oh my God, like Eddie Murphy became huge in like those movies, and he was still on SNL. That was like a big deal.
I mean, I think Eddie Murphy probably was the, I would say he was the biggest movie star that ever came out of that show. I would say so. Box office, the amount of movies that he did. I mean, a lot of them weren't that good, but he had so many hits. I think pound for pound, you'd have to say.
He was. Early on, it was like Chevy Chase, Bill Murray.
Early on. But, you know, I mean, Eddie Murphy's still making big, kind of big movies. So.
No, he is.
Yeah.
Chevy Bill Chase Murray's, is now Bill just Murray's yelling just in, at him.
Yeah.
What?
And Bill Murray's just in Wes Anderson movies, you know?
Yeah. No, he, Bill Murray, like, did fine eventually, but, wasn't there kind of a thing with Bill Murray? Everyone kind of turned on him in the last year. Like everyone kind of got mad at him finally. Oh he, yeah. There's all this stuff coming out. Everyone hates him. Like that everyone worked with him, hated him.
He's kind of obnoxious. They say he's a little handsy. I think maybe he wasn't Me Too, but he was inappropriate, which I could see. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's like, I feel like you missed the Me Too window with him. It's just like, once they get to like 80, it's just like, you missed it. It's not, I'm sorry, it's over. There's a statute of limitations.
Like, well, unless you're Cosby and you're like raping people. But
yeah,
let's finish up with the Oscars. We're on a tangent. I don't know how this happened.
Okay, yeah, we'll wrap this up. So
we can't even, we do an Oscar show and we won't even talk about the Oscars. That's how much the Oscars suck.
Well, back to Vanessa Bayer.
How long was it last night, the Oscars?
It was about 3.5 hours.
Oh,
it was long. But I mean, like I said, it's for me, it's just like a tradition. Like, and also, you know, I was thinking, you know, I know I mentioned this all the time, especially when Oscars come up, but I was on the Oscars when I was like 10 or 11 years old. And so I feel like it's, for me, it's just kind of this thing that's like, I'm always going to watch the Oscars because it's kind of brings up this huge, like, monumental moment in my childhood. So there's, I feel like I always have that kind of connection to it. But I don't know. I just feel like from when I was young, like, it was just, that's what you did. When it was on, you just stayed home and watched the Oscars. It was like a three. And that, I think it's when people complain how long it is, because it's like, it's always been that long.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why is everyone always surprised? Like,
well, it's cost the ABC a lot of money, so they want to shove as much ads in there as possible. So as many ads as there's possible. So,
yeah, I mean, it was fine. I was watching with my girlfriend. We were kind of like playing a trivia game, movie trivia game during it. But now you're kind of watching to, like, you know, you don't want to miss anything big that happens. You know, someone gets like, you know, attacked by a lion or something.
I actually have a clip of you on the Oscars. You want to hear?
Sure.
I'm really bad at the soundboards today. Sounds a lot like
That was when I that was when I fell off the stage and had to be. I broke my leg. I was up at the podium for a guy accepting his Oscar.
Were you really?
Me and like 30 other kids were I've told this story before, so like,
yeah,
with this guy who won a document, because that's why we were there, because this guy had made a documentary about this dude that like taught dance, and some of us were in the documentary, and so we ran up there, and I realized this about 5 years ago. The guy who won, like 2 years later, directed Dirty Dancing.
Oh, that guy, really?
So I was up at the podium with the director of Dirty Dancing like 2 or 3 years before he did Dirty Dancing.
Wow.
As Oscar with, I mean, there's a bunch of, and this is just how, like, first of all, I you know, I was so young and clueless. I mean, when we went up there, we had already like performed on the show. I didn't even know what we were doing. I didn't know why we were running on stage. They were all like these adults were like, okay, now everyone go here. And then they were like, when we go like this, like run into the auditorium. And I was like, all right. And like, we ran in there, we're all screaming and, you know, I'm just standing there. What? And like, you know, Jack Nicholson's like standing right in front, you know what I mean? Like, or sitting right there. And, it's just so funny. Cause like, I just had no idea at the time. I mean, I did have an idea, but I didn't like, you know, when you're young, you're just like, oh, this is what life is, right? Just you go to the Oscars and like there's celebrities there. Like, this is going to be a cool experience.
Right.
You just assume like you're just going to be on the Oscars every year. So, yeah.
So you figured probably by age 20, you were going to win the Nobel Prize, right?
I think I had a moment when I was like 14 where I was like, I'll probably have done like 3 movies by the time I'm like 19. Because I just didn't know what, I just thought that like that was the natural progression. Like,
right.
Oscars, now I do movies.
You'll be on Saturday Night Live when you're 17, you know?
Yeah, but see, that can go, that, you know, oddly, I feel like that shift changed the trajectory of Anthony Michael Hall, that him being on SNL. You could argue that
failing on that show,
failing that hardcore and so badly. It's funny how some people get, like Janine Garofalo was another one. She was kind of famous when she did it and you thought she would thrive, and she really, it was a bad season and I think it really hurt her.
Yeah, but she was big for a while after that though. But
yeah, she
help.
Was like, she was fine, but it definitely was a big, I think.
Well, you know, all this stuff, like these high profile flameouts, like when they talk about Letterman, who when first got the job on CBS was just crushing it and everyone loved him and he was beating Jay Leno and the critics loved him. And then he hosted the Oscars and people didn't like it. He was funny. He was doing what he does and they hated it. And then his ratings started going down. That was like kind of the beginning and people started shitting on him. And
well, wasn't the main... The shift was the sea change was when Jay Leno had Hugh Grant on.
That was
after
the
hooker thing. That was the first night that he beat Letterman or something.
Right. But it was also that Oscars might have been the same year where
it was.
He was finally like they would say Letterman could do no wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know,
he did wrong.
Yeah, but it's again one of those things where it's like when it's like Louis C.K. and stuff, when he had that point when I always say when he could do no wrong, and I was always like, uh-oh, you know?
Yeah,
the critics are like just fucking fawning over everything he's doing, you know, and Letterman was like that too at that time, and I'm like, yeah, and this was before the internet, and I'm like, this
I love how Letterman's big slip up is like that the Oscars audience has no fucking sense of humor. Just like, because again, I watched it, I thought he was fine. I mean, like I thought I think he bombed, but that opening thing was weird. But do you remember the opening?
No.
He just did that weird like Oprah. Uma?
Yeah.
Oprah? Uma. Like, and it was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what is, I mean, I liked him at the time, but I was like, why are you doing that?
You know what the funny thing is with Letterman is that when you're on top of the world, everyone wants to kind of take you off that. And years later, he did something much worse. He was caught cheating on his wife with like the intern. And at that point, he was number 2 in the ratings. He was old. Everyone kind of liked him at this point, or they felt bad for him. So when that happened, everyone was like, meh, you know. Right? It didn't hurt him at all.
Yeah. It didn't. No, it really didn't.
That was a real scandal. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got lucky that it was about 6 years ahead of
me too
before everyone cared. It's weird how, like, but I guess Trump was so bad that everyone just finally was like, wait a minute, you know, raping people, like, it's not cool. You shouldn't rape people at work. Like, that's just like, that's like, it took Trump to like point that out to people.
I saw a comic the other night. I'm not gonna say who it was, but it's a newer comic, but did a joke that wasn't. borderline condoning rape, but it wasn't horrible, but like you couldn't say this joke. And I forgot what the joke was, but like the women in the crowd were so mad, and like someone yells out, "I hate you."
Wow, that's a rough,
right?
And then a rough heckle to come back from,
right? And then after, there was a female comic going on after, and she was a little nervous because they were the crowd. I'm like, look, I'm like, they're gonna like you even the second you stand on stage, because you're not him and you're a woman. So because he just pissed off every fucking woman in this fucking crowd.
Is he good or is
no, it was like a newer comic?
Okay,
so
did she kill?
Yeah, she did well, because it's like almost that relief thing. And she's a funny comic too. But like when you see someone fuck up a room like that, you're like,
And then they want to they want so badly to like the next person, and it almost becomes almost like a spite against the last person. I've had that where like I specifically remember one time where the crowd like they hated me, like.
Right.
And I didn't, it was just because it was really early on. It was a shitty ambush show. It was just a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I went on first. I was like totally like not, I was set up to fail. And they hated me. And so this guy, and it was so bad. I could tell because when I came off, the next guy I was going to go on just looked like had like a 1,000-yard stare. You know, he just looked so scared because he had to go on. And I was leaving. And when he went on, it was an ambush show, and they were so mad that it was a show. And when he went on, I could tell they were just like, yeah, yeah, like immediately kind of supporting him just as like an F you to me. Like, all right, we're going to like this guy. And like, he wasn't like funny. I didn't really stay, but that was really early on. It's been a year and a half in. It was in LA. And I remember it took me an hour to get there. And it was such an odd experience. I was leaving and everyone had seen what had happened. It was like in a bar. And just I could feel everyone staring at me, just like hated me. And I had only been up on stage for like 8 minutes.
When I used to host a lot, I would always try to like soothe the comics because I always felt bad for them. So it'd be a situation where the comic would bomb, right? And then they get off stage and I'm talking to them while the next comic's on, and they're like, "What? They hated me." I'm like, "Yeah," I would be like, "They're just a bad crowd. Don't worry about it. They're just bad, right?" Then all of a sudden the next comic's killing and he's watching that. He's like, "Well, this guy's killing." And then I have to be like, "Yeah, but you see the jokes he's doing. I mean, come on."
Yeah.
I'm doing everything so this guy doesn't fucking
commit. Yeah, well, he's good. Well, he's telling jokes that are good. So.
Right. Because you feel so bad. And I always notice this one thing, especially when you see good comics. If you see a good comic after their set, I might have brought this up before, watching the show after their set.
Yeah,
they had a bad set, because usually if you're a good comic, you're just like you're on the go, you're doing this, whatever.
Right.
But if you have a bad set, you're going to sit and watch.
You want to make sure the next guy's doing bad, too. It's such a nightmare when they don't
next
do
guy.
That.
You want the whole show to be bad, you know, so then that's the
I want the
thing.
Place to be set on burnt to the ground by the. No, I had that about 2 weeks ago, like when I did Sheba's show. It was like an awful show, and I watched to make sure the next guy didn't do well. I watched to make sure that, and it was just they were bad. There weren't that many people, and they were just yelling
right. But that's I will sometimes sit for the whole fucking show to just hope to God that nobody does well. You know, I don't want people not to do well, but you in your mind you do.
Well, no, I do when that happens. I don't. I mean, I'm either here nor there. I don't want. Right. I don't want them to do well or do badly. But I don't like going after people that kill, like really kill. People think that's like a good scenario. Like you want to go after the guy you just killed. It's like they're just gonna be because usually they're not at all like me. So like they're just mad that I'm not that guy. Because unless I'm like a similar energy, but usually I'm not. So it's like.
Yeah, but I think sometimes I used to be like that, but then you have to separate killing from like destroying. And I would rather follow someone who kills than bombs, because you can weigh that energy. All you have to do is just start strong. First couple of jokes.
Right,
then like,
right.
Okay,
no,
this guy's
true.
Funny too.
You're right.
It's the guys who tear the room to pieces.
That's what I mean.
Right.
I've had that where people just like I've had it a few times. One time I had to follow Judah Friedlander and he had fucking destroyed and like all crowd work.
Right.
And I went up there and I'm like, hey, so you ever go to the, and I could tell they were just like, they had been talked to the entire, they were part of the show for like 20 minutes. And now I'm just like trying to go back to like, I'm going to stand here and tell jokes and you're not part of it. And they just didn't know what to do with that. They were like, what?
Yeah. And you can't even do crowd work after that because he's done it so well and so much of it that like any crowd work you do pales in comparison. So you almost, they take that tool out of your toolbox and it's like, you know.
So that's another, I think there was another, I think his name's Steve Ireland. I followed him at Broadway a few years ago and he fucking.
Steve Marshall.
Marshall. He just like. Just destroyed the room, like killed, and like you know, he's like in the crowd and like, hey, everyone, like he wasn't even like doing stand up. He was like a fucking like a party promoter.
Yeah, but he crushes though. Yeah,
and I am not that energy. And, yeah, it was rough.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, nothing against it. Yeah, we'll wrap it up. I don't think he's not even like that funny. Like, I think I'm funnier, but they weren't liking me because he was doing a lot of like, he's fine. Nothing against him, but like, I don't think he was funnier than me. It was just a different thing, you know? Right. He's not bad. He's like, he's good. But I mean, I was like, I've never followed anyone like since Judah Friedland destroyed like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, Steve could go. Yeah, he can go on forever too. So you want to go? It's, you know, but
yeah.
You got to follow those guys. Anyway, let's wrap it up.
Well, all right. So that's our Oscars show. I'm glad we talked about Steve Marshall and that time I bombed in L.A. So yeah, thanks for tuning in and buy Silk City Hot Sauce. Also, I forgot to mention, buy it. It's good. I eat it all the time on my food.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. So we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye.